Today we are reading from Canto 3, Chapter 16. Chapter 16 is entitled Jai and Vijay Cursed by the Sages. And today we are on text 16. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The sages said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are unable to know what you intend for us to do. For even though you are the supreme ruler of all, you speak in our favor as if we had done something good for you. Purport: The sages could understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above everyone, was speaking as if he were in the wrong. Therefore, it was difficult for them to understand the words of the Lord. They could understand, however, that the Lord was speaking in such a humble way just to show them His all-merciful favor. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Vidinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this, we are reading Canto 3 right now, which is, and Chapter 16, which is entitled Jai and Vijay Cursed by the Sages. This is actually a conversation which is going on between Lord Brahma. We'll just give a little bit of context to this today's verse. So it's actually a conversation going on between Lord Brahma and the demigods. And this conversation started actually at the beginning of the 15th chapter, the previous chapter, which is entitled as Description of the Kingdom of God. So in the beginning of the previous chapter, the demigods actually approach Lord Brahma. We see always in the Bhagavatam that whenever the demigods are facing some trouble or they are distressed by some situation in the material world, they usually first go to Brahma, who is the chief amongst all demigods, for a solution. And then ultimately all of them go to Lord Vishnu if there is no solution achieved by going to Lord Brahma. So the demigods have approached Lord Brahma. And what was the reason of them approaching Lord Brahma? Their reason was the pregnancy of Diti. So in the 14th chapter, two chapters before, we saw how Diti had approached her husband, Kashyapa Muni. She actually wanted progeny. She wanted to have children from her husband. And she approaches Kashyapa Muni for getting that progeny. And when she approached Kashyapa Muni, unfortunately, it was not a very good time to conceive a child. But Diti was so much smitten by passion, by the mode of passion and by lusty desires, that she could not control herself. And Kashyapa Muni warned her, but even then she really implored Kashyapa Muni to fulfill her desire to give her children. So they had a union at the wrong time, and because of the union at the wrong time, there were two very powerful demons who actually took shelter of Diti's womb. And when Diti became pregnant, she realized that and they had a conversation also. Kashyapa Muni told Diti also after they had the union at an inappropriate time. Actually, Kashyapa Muni warns Diti that because we had this union and you could not control your senses, your progeny is going to be actually very demoniac. They are going to be the greatest demons which will come in the world, and they are going to create havoc in this material world. And that is what happened even before she delivered the demons. Even while she was pregnant, the womb, the pregnancy was so powerful that the sun, the light of the sun and moon actually diminished when Diti was pregnant. And the demigods started losing their power. They realized that they were becoming powerless. And they saw that all over the world there was darkness spreading, and this actually caused concern to the demigods. So then they approached Lord Brahma and they asked him that what is this going on right now in the universe? we can see that Diti is pregnant, and we can see that there is some demoniac power emanating from her womb, which is causing all the situation, unfavorable situation in the material world. So why is this happening, and how can we counteract whatever is happening right now? Because we can also see our power is, we are becoming powerless because of her pregnancy. And then Lord Brahma starts answering the demigod's question about Diti's pregnancy. And he describes the entire episode, the entire pastime which took place of his sons, the four Kumaras, visiting Vaikuntha. And when they visited Vaikuntha, they could pass through all the six gates uninterruptedly. There was no one to stop them. And when they came to the seventh gate, they were actually stopped by the two doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu, called Jay and Vijay. And when they were stopped by the two doorkeepers, the sages, these four Kumaras, become very angry. Now, Jay and Vijay actually stopped them because they were doing their duty. They saw that these four sages, who actually looked like children, five-year-old children, and they were just clothed in the four directions. There were no physical clothes on their body. So the doorkeepers thought that how can children be allowed in Vaikuntha planet? They did not realize that even though the four Kumaras look 5 years old, they are actually ageless. They have been around for thousands and thousands of years. But the doorkeepers did not realize that, and they stopped them from entering the Lord's abode beyond the seventh gate. And this made the sages very angry. They thought that how can an enemy enter into Vaikuntha planet? Because we know to enter Vaikuntha planet, there is so much qualification required. So they knew that no enemy could enter Vaikuntha planet. Then why is it that these doorkeepers are stopping anyone from entering? And therefore they cursed them. They said that you are behaving in a dual way. You think there is duality of friendship and enmity in Vaikuntha planet. Certain people should be allowed inside and certain cannot be allowed inside. So because you are thinking in terms of duality, you should actually go down to the material world, which is a world of duality, which is a world of right and wrong. Because in the Vaikuntha planet, everything will be right only. There can nothing be wrong in Vaikuntha planet. And in this way, the sages curse the doorkeepers Jay and Vijay. And actually at that time, so Brahma is describing this entire conversation which happened between Jay and Vijay to the demigods who have approached him in distress. And at that time, Brahma then says that Jay and Vijay were actually cursed by the sages, because of which they had to come down to the material world. And right now they have taken shelter in Diti's womb as two powerful demons. So then Lord Brahma goes on to explain to the demigods that we cannot do anything right now. You'll have to just don't lament about this situation. I understand y'all have become powerless, but there is nothing we can, neither can I do anything, nor can you do anything about this whole thing, because this entire thing is happening by the Lord's will. Now we see in the Bhagavatam, usually we read in all the cantos of Bhagavatam, that the Lord actually protects his devotees. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. The Lord himself claims in the Bhagavad Gita that he comes down to the world again and again to protect his devotees and to annihilate the miscreants. So we see the Lord claims that, and we see in the Bhagavatam also many pastimes where the Lord has always sided with the demigods and he has always come to protect the demigods from the demons. But in this situation, we are seeing contrary. We are seeing that even before they are being delivered, these demons have overpowered the demigods. They have completely made the demigods powerless. In fact, not only the demigods, they are making the planets, powerful planets and stars like sun and moon, to become powerless. And Brahma on top of that is saying that we can't counteract this. This is happening by the Lord's will. So how do we understand this? So it is explained that the Lord sometimes orchestrates all these pastimes, and sometimes he may reverse his role of not giving protection to the demigods for some time, because the Lord is actually teaching the demigods a lesson. The Lord always is the Lord is considered to be the greatest teacher. So through many of his pastimes, he is teaching different aspects to different devotees. So through this pastime, he was actually teaching the demigods a lesson that you cannot become complacent in the material world. Because the Lord can see, sometimes the demigods become puffed up due to their power, which we see in the Bhagavatam many times in the case of Indra. He many times becomes puffed up because of his power, and the Lord has to teach him many times lessons. The Lord has to teach lessons to Indra many times. So in the same way, if the Lord sees that the demigods, who are the protectors of Dharma, if they become complacent and they start becoming very comfortable in the material world, then the Lord has to create these situations wherein the complacency of the demigods is shaken up. And we see these things happening in our lives also. We see sometimes in our spiritual life, you know, as practicing devotees, we are trying to advance, we are trying to better our Krishna consciousness. But the force of the material world, the force of the three modes of material nature is so strong, especially the force of passion and ignorance, that it can make us lazy and complacent in the world. And when we become lazy and complacent and we start taking things for granted in our spiritual life, we start becoming mechanical about our spiritual life, about our sadhana, then the Lord arranges for all these shake-up situations. He might send some difficulty in our life by which we come out of our complacency. And then we run to the Lord. Oh Lord, please give me shelter. This problem has come in my life. There is no other refuge for me. And we see, you know, devotees can themselves introspect and they can see that whenever a situation comes in their life, which is very distressful or some difficulty comes in the life, then we can see how our sadhana improves. We see how much more shelter we take of the Lord whenever difficulties come in our life. So in the same way, the Lord is shaking up the demigods through this pastime, because the demigods become complacent sometimes. The Lord is trying to tell them that the material world is not a place for gentlemen to live comfortably. It is a place to actually perfect your spiritual life and go out. Like Prabhupada many times gives the example. He compares the material world to actually a bathroom or a toilet. Prabhupada says that when we go into the toilet, we are going actually just to do our job and to come out quickly of that toilet. But he says, Prabhupada says that nowadays people, you know, in modern homes, the toilets are made so opulent and so comfortable. There is, you know, newspaper rack, magazines, this, that people keep such things in their toilets so that they can comfortably sit there for some time. But Prabhupada says, what is all this? You know, the toilet is meant to do some work which is very moochy and you come out quickly of that work, after finishing that work. Not that you sit there and spend hours in the toilet being very comfortable. So in the same way, Prabhupada says this material world is like that. It is not a place to spend too much time and become comfortable, make your situation better and better in the material world. It is a place to finish the work. Okay, we have come here unfortunately by some arrangement because of our previous desires to enjoy. We have come here unfortunately, but then it's a place to get out quickly. And that is what the Lord is teaching the demigods, that it is a place to get out quickly. So don't spend too much time here comfortably, and therefore he sometimes sends these powerful demons. So that was one of the reasons which Lord Brahma explains. At the end of this chapter, he will explain these reasons to the demigods when he concludes his conversation with the demigods. But in the seventh canto also again, this whole pastime is brought about by Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. At the beginning of the seventh canto, again there is a reference to Jaya and Vijaya given. And there actually the chapter starts, the first chapter of seventh canto starts with Parikshit Maharaj asking Sukadeva Goswami a question. He says that usually we hear, and he was referring to the sixth canto, because towards the end of the sixth canto, the pastime of Indra and Vritrasura happens. And how the Lord gives protection to Indra and all the demigods against Vritrasura. How the Lord actually helps Indra to overcome Vritrasura. Even though we know that Vritrasura was actually a pure devotee of the Lord in the guise of a demon. But the Lord protects Indra and he helps him to actually overcome Vritrasura. So in answer, when Sukadeva Goswami has narrated that pastime, Parikshit Maharaj gets this question in his mind. He says that by listening to this pastime, which you just narrated about Vritrasura and Indra, I tend to think, and anybody will conclude when they read such pastimes, that the Lord is actually partial. The Lord is partial to his devotees, and he's, you know, we hear about so many qualities of the Lord, and one of the qualities of the Lord is that he's impartial, or he's equal to every living entity in the world, because every living entity is his child. Every jiva is the Lord's child only, and the Lord is impartial. But when we hear of such pastimes, we tend to conclude that actually the Lord is partial. We tend to conclude that the Lord is always siding with the demigods. So how do we understand this? And how do we stop people from misunderstanding the Lord, that he is not partial? Whereas this pastime actually is proving that he took the side of the demigods. So in response to that question, Sukadeva Goswami first of all is very happy. He praises Parikshit Maharaj that this is such a glorious question you have asked. And in response to that question, Sukadeva Goswami narrates to Parikshit Maharaj a conversation which happens between Narad Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj. And this conversation has taken place at the end of the Rajasuya sacrifice. So during the Rajasuya sacrifice, as many of you know, the pastime of Mahabharata, Shishupal was killed by Lord Krishna during the Ratsuya sacrifice because he had reached the limit which Lord Krishna had set for Shishupal. That if he goes beyond 100 offenses, that I'm going to kill. That is what Lord Krishna had promised his auntie, who was Shishupal's mother. And Shishupal had reached that limit during the Ratsuya sacrifice by insulting Krishna during the sacrifice. And then Lord Krishna actually releases his Sudarshan Chakra. And he kills Shishupal in the midst of all the assembled kings. Everyone who was assembled for the Ratsuya sacrifice. He kills Shishupal. But the incredulous thing was that even though Shishupal had blasphemed Lord Krishna and Lord Krishna is killing Shishupal, in the presence of everyone present, like everyone who was there, they saw that there was a light which came out of Shishupal. That was the soul of Shishupal and it merged into Lord Krishna's body. And Yudhishthir Maharaj then asked Narad Muni. He saw this happening and he was amazed that how can such an activity happen. So he asked Narad Muni. He says that Shishupal was the biggest blasphemer of the Lord. And even then, when the Lord killed him, the Lord allowed his soul to merge into his body. So how do we understand this pastime that has taken place? And there Narad Muni explains. Again he explains the whole pastime of how Jay and Vijay were cursed by the four Kumaras at, you know, many, many decades ago when they went to Vaikuntha planet, how they were stopped and they cursed the two doorkeepers. So he explains that pastime and he says, there he glorifies the quality of Lord's impartiality. He says that the Lord actually is impartial to everyone. And he says that the Shishupal and even Dantavakra, they were actually Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha in a previous birth. And originally they are Jay and Vijay. So they have come down to the material world by the will of the Lord and because of the curse of the sages. But because they were completely absorbed in thinking of the Lord. If we see even Kamsa or if we see Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, they were inimical to the Lord, but their whole consciousness was absorbed. Because Vishnu was their greatest enemy, they were absorbed in how to kill Vishnu. So because of their envy towards Lord Vishnu, their absorption was strong. And Narad Muni is actually praising. He is saying that their absorption in Lord Vishnu was much stronger than a practicing devotee like me. So Narad Muni is comparing his own devotion with the absorption of Shishupal, Dantavakra or Kamsa and all these people. He is saying that their absorption because of envy, because of inimical feelings towards Lord Krishna or Vishnu is much greater than a practicing devotee's absorption in Lord Krishna. And then Prabhupada explains, Prabhupada says that does not mean that we are getting sanctioned to be inimical or to be unfavorable to Lord Krishna or start offering unfavorable prayers to Lord Krishna. No, no, that doesn't give us a sanction. We still have to do anukulyasa salpa sankalpa pratikulyasa varjanam. We still have to do favorable devotional service only to the Lord. But Narad Muni is bringing about this point just to show that the Lord is impartial. He is not partial to just his devotees. He is impartial and he has given liberation even to a blasphemer like Shishupal. That is what Narad Muni was trying to prove to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And we see even in the beginning of the first canto, we see that Putna's pastime is there. When actually Vyasadeva has just given birth to Sukadeva Goswami and Sukadeva Goswami actually walks away from home. And that time Vyasadeva runs behind Sukadeva Goswami because he wants to teach Bhagavatam to him and he wants Sukadeva Goswami to become the greatest proponent of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sukadeva Goswami was a Brahmavadi. He was fearing that Maya will catch hold of him. So he just left home and went away. And that time Vyasadeva goes behind him and he actually narrates the verse about the Lord giving the position of a dhatri or a nurse to Putana. Said the Lord is so merciful that even to a person who came to kill him, to a demoness whose intentions were totally wrong, she had actually come to poison Krishna and to kill him. But even to such a demoness, to such a witch, the Lord has given the highest position of nurse in the spiritual world. So all these pastimes prove that the Lord is impartial. He is not partial to his just to his devotees or to the demigods. He even gives liberation to the demons who are inimical towards him. So that is what Narad Muni is proving through that pastime of Shishupal and Dantavakra. And then we are seeing that, here we are seeing somehow that the Lord seems to be partial to the demigods. The Lord is actually not showing favor to the Lord is partial to the demons. He is not showing favor to the demigods. We are seeing that the Lord is allowing the pregnancy of Diti to diminish the power of the demigods. Then how do we understand this pastime? And to understand this pastime, Gurijan Prabhu very nicely explains in unveiling his lotus feet. He explains the aspect, a quality of the Lord, which is called as Adbhuta Karmana. So that is one of the characteristics of Lord Krishna. What is the meaning of Adbhuta Karmana? Adbhuta Karmana means a person who can achieve actually in one shot many activities. And Prabhupada also defines this quality of Lord Krishna. Prabhupada says that Krishna is called the most intelligent person in the entire creation. And what is the definition of an intelligent person? Prabhupada again explains. So that intelligent person is no one else but one who can do Adbhuta Karmana. One who can through one pastime achieve lots of purposes through one action of his. He can teach different lessons to different people and he can achieve different purposes or goals which he has set in his mind. So that is a characteristic of Lord Krishna. And we will now try to understand this Adbhuta Karmana quality of Lord Krishna. That in this pastime of the four Kumaras cursing Jay and Vijay, how the Lord has shown this Adbhuta Karmana quality of his. How he has achieved many purposes through one activity of the four Kumaras cursing Jay and Vijay. So we will go through a few points which the Lord is achieving through this pastime. So the first of all, the first point which, or the first purpose which the Lord wanted to achieve was that it was his will. Like Lord Brahma was explaining to the demigods that it was the will of the Lord. It is because of the will of the Lord that these demons have so much power even while in the womb of their mother Diti. And your power has become diminished because of their power. So Brahma explains that it is the will of the Lord. Now what was the will of the Lord? What did he want to do? So it is explained that the Lord allows or he orchestrated this entire pastime because a spirit or a desire to fight had arisen inside the Lord's heart. So Prabhupada explains that whatever qualities or whatever activities we see in this material world, they are actually a reflection of whatever goes on in the spiritual world. They might be a perverted reflection because the material world is tinged by the three modes of material nature. But every activity in the material world has its origin in the spiritual world. So when we see even fighting going on in the material world, its origin is there in the spiritual world. This fighting spirit, the Kshatriya spirit is there in the Lord and therefore it is there in the material world also. So the Lord had got a desire to fight.